All right. Thank you, Pastor Archie. It is so good to be back here in Dumaguete. And well, the last time I was here, I think, was 2006 when Pastor Donnie was still the pastor of the church. In 2010, we had the regional meeting here. I remember, I think my wife was with me. In fact, she texted me just while worship was going on and said, please buy 2 boxes of Silvanas and 1 Sans Rival. So I think she remembered wonderful things. But let me tell you something. On the way here, every time I go out of Metro Manila, and if you've been to Metro Manila, the quality of life really is just deteriorating because of the congestion and all that. But every time I fly, I found out just earlier today that Dumaguete now is one of the top 5 cities, apparently, for people who want to retire. So that speaks something of the city. So I was really just relaxed coming, landing here. I just really felt the distressing and you know, just going around the city, going through Siliman University with Pastor Archie. So I was just really enjoying my time. And I realized, wow, it must be such a blessing for people like you to live here. How many of you would agree with that? But let me tell you, this is wonderful to be in this beautiful city that's relaxing. But let me tell you, once you step into this place and begin to magnify Jesus, you're not just here to relax. You're here to be energized for the kingdom of God. Amen? So that's why it's like I feel stretched both ways, you know, relaxed, but in the same time, stirred up in the spirit to do something for God. How many of you know God has something greater in store for you as a follower of Christ and as a church together? That's what I'm here to speak the word of God to you, but I do want to commend Pastor Archie and the leadership team of this church, his wife, and the leaders who have really labored. In fact, just when we were having lunch at the famous Joe's Inato, I got stirred up with what God has in store for you and your church and your city. And I want to commend your leaders, of course, Pastor Donnie and Pastor Jonathan Bokobo, who helped start this church. They've done a fantastic job. I want you to know that you are blessed because of the pastors and leaders that you have. Do you realize that your pastors and your leaders here are not just gifted people? They are gifts from God to you. How many of you like receiving gifts whenever it's your birthday? Okay, guess what? Your pastors are gifts of God to you, the church. Okay, how many of you like the gift wrapping and all that, okay? But let me tell you, you are blessed because of the leaders. So could we give Pastor Archie and the pastors of this church a big round of applause? All right, come on. Let's really appreciate and honor them for their labor. Okay, I want to show you a quick picture. Every year we take our picture at the UP campus, but this time we thought we'd do it in Ateneo just to make the point that our inheritance are the universities. And I want you to know this city is wonderful, but yet there's something strategic why we're here in the city. And let me tell you, the gospel is for every man and woman and child. Jesus paid the same price for everybody. But the Lord gave us as a ministry a vision, a strategy to see this nation transformed by reaching students. How many students do we have here tonight? Can I see your hands? All right. Actually, I'm still a student. Kaya lang graduate studies, okay? Magdo-doctorate na ako. So pwede pa ako mag-estudyante, okay? But if you're not a student, okay, how many of you were a student at one time, okay? All right. So all of us were students. So that's still for everybody. But the point is, when we're training, we were at the Camp Aguinaldo last Thursday to look at remembering 30 years of what happened when it was a change, the peaceful revolution. And I realized that revolution is still unfinished. How many of you know there's still so much to change in our nation? And let's not think that change will come overnight. And the answer is the gospel in the hearts of young and old people who will make a difference. And when we were declaring, you know, you're declaring God's faithfulness to this church, 15 years old. Let me tell you, you are just starting, okay? I want you to envision, we were in the Siliman University Church earlier. It's 100 years old. Let me tell you, this church is not just going to be 15, it's going to be over 100 years old. Come on now. Your children, your children's children will be raised up and discipled in this church. So don't think short term. Come on, think long term. That church is still standing because it was founded upon Jesus Christ and His Word. That's the same foundation we're laying here. Come on now. And let me tell you, when you are founded, your life is founded upon God's Word, that foundation will stand. Whether it's your personal life, whether it's your family, whether it's your business, whether it's your school, if you are founded upon Christ and His Word, that foundation will stand and it will go the distance. It will be catapulted, if you will, into the future. And with that, I want to segue. Okay, I didn't really say much about my family except that my children are, my oldest is 19, Jeremy on the left side. My second, Daniel, just graduated high school. He's also going to Ateneo, 17. Hannah, my girl, is 15, and Samuel is 13. So 19, 17, 15, 13. I have a youth group in my home now, okay? Puro teenager sila, okay? So I feel young. All right, we were jamming the other day, so they're all musical, and I'm just the conductor, okay? So I want to share with you God's word this afternoon. How will you be catapulted to the next phase of this church's growth and expansion? You know, it's a great theme to celebrate 15 years, but the question is, how will that happen? And I want to share with you one verse, and I have a message from this one verse. I'm going to read this message. I'm going to read the scripture from three different translations so you get the nuance. I remember earlier when Quest was singing that song, he was speaking the very message that I wanted to give you. So thank you, Quest, for really just preparing the way. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18 says this, "Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law." The next in King James says this, it's the same verse, "Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he." And finally, in the Message translation, "If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves, but when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed." I want to start off by sharing a story many years ago, decades ago, of this young boy named Jimmy who was playing in the living room right after dinner. His dad and mom had just finished dinner with him, and like most nights, they still had some work to do, so they were at their living room, and Jimmy was playing. I think he was about 8 years old. And then his mother, a few minutes later, said, "Son, it's time to go to bed now." Now, usually he would whine and prefer to stay, but this time he dutifully goes up, and mommy and daddy still works after that. After about an hour, mommy decides, "I better check up on my son, how he's doing." And when he goes up to the room, Jimmy is sitting in bed staring at the moon right outside of their house. And it was a full moon. It was bright, beautiful scene. And mommy asked Jimmy, "Jimmy, what are you doing?" "I'm looking at the moon, mommy." And says, "Okay, son, it's time to go to bed now." And Jimmy says, "You know, mommy, one day I'm going to walk on that moon." Mommy didn't think too much of it. She tucks him in and says, "Good night, son," kisses him, and off she goes, and Jimmy sleeps for the night. Now, many years later, Jimmy would almost die from a motorcycle accident that broke almost all of his bones. But you know, 32 years from the time of that conversation at home, James Irwin is only one of 12 astronauts that actually get to fly to the moon and be one of the lunar module pilots. So this guy, James Irwin, okay, not only spoke a dream and a vision, he actually lived to see that dream and that vision come to pass. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. Vision is a powerful means to bring something from imagination to reality. If you think of people like Henry Ford, okay, who started Ford Motor Company, Walt Disney, okay, who started Disneyland, Disney World, people like Steve Jobs, of course, who's passed on now, Lee Kuan Yew, Prime Minister of Singapore, who's also passed, our very own Pia Wurtzbach. Come on. How many of you know when she was 8 years old, she said, "One day I'm going to be a beauty queen"? Come on now. It's come to pass. Hallelujah. See, we all admire these people for what they have accomplished, but we want to understand how they were able to accomplish what they did. Now, what is a vision? A vision is a mental picture of a desired future. Now, think about that. I teach this when I do spiritual gifts. Do you realize that we think in pictures? I want you to close your eyes right now, and I'm going to say a word. Tell me what you see, okay? Elephant, okay? Elephant. Now, open your eyes, okay? Now, when I said the word elephant, what did you see in your mind's eye? Did you see the letters E-L-E-P-H-A-N-T? No. Maybe some of you did. Sometimes that happens. But you know, most of us saw a picture of an elephant, isn't it? See, we think in pictures. We think pictorially. That's part of who we are. We imagine things, okay? But the point is, It is a mental picture of a desired future. It is a picture of what can be seen, of what is not yet, but of what can be. Now, having a mission and a vision is important. We are a missional organization. We have a clear mission to honor God by establishing Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, socially responsible churches and campus ministries in every nation. That's clear, and that will never change. But a vision is what happens as we fulfill our mission. So both mission and vision are important, but I want to focus tonight on helping us understand a vision. Okay? It is a future picture of something that we want to see happen. And see, where we are in life is directly connected to our vision or lack thereof. Think about that. This is what Pastor Ian Johnson said. What you are today is a direct result of your vision yesterday. Think about your dreams as children, okay? Come on, how many of you had dreams as children? It's okay, it's good to have dreams. I remember Pastor Ray Corpus, our pastor in Abu Dhabi. He was so poor, okay? He was selling peanuts and newspapers and cigarettes just on the street. This man was so poor, he said he was so poor he couldn't even dream. You know, that's how it is for many people. But I believe most, if not all of you, have something. At least you dreamt of being something when you grow up. So that's part of what we are. God gave us the power of imagination because we were created in His image. Okay? Anyway, speaking of Disney World in Orlando, in Florida, when it first opened, Mrs. Walt Disney was asked to speak at the grand opening because Walt had already died by then. Okay, I remember when we went to Disneyland in LA, my wife's name is Minnie, okay, and we looked for Mickey and Minnie, and we sat by each other, and we had our picture taken, okay, Manny and Minnie with Mickey and Minnie, okay. Anyway, this was in Orlando in Florida, which is the bigger Disney theme park. So she was asked to attend the opening because her husband had already died. She was introduced by a man who said, "Mrs. Disney, I wish Walt could have seen this." And Mrs. Disney stood up and said, "He did." Okay? In other words, even if he did not see its fruition, in his mind he already saw what was there. In fact, many years ago, if ever you are able to go to Orlando, Florida, actually that part is mostly swamp land. Okay? Parang doon sa Candaba, okay? If you're in Pampanga, you know that viaduct, if you're ever going to Baguio, it's swamp land, okay? It's like rice paddies. That was how it was. It's all water. And so Walt Disney had invited one of his friends to invest in Disney World. And he was describing, this is where Epcot will be. This is where this theme park will be. This is where it is. And he described it with so much excitement. And then his friend was scratching his head and looking around. He said, "All I see is swamp." Can you imagine? Here was this man describing the dream that he had, and all the guy could see was this barren land. And so he refused to invest. You know, that man probably regretted that decision for the rest of his life. You know, if you don't have vision, your future is very limited. One of the world's most famous women is a woman by the name of Helen Keller. How many of you have heard of Helen Keller? Okay, you must have heard about her in school, isn't it? Well, what happened was Helen Keller was born, and at 2 years old, she became blind. She wasn't blind at birth. She had a sickness or an injury. I forgot what it was. But apparently, not only was she blind, she was also mute and deaf as well. So you can imagine, how could you ever even have something to do with your life? Well, guess what happened? As she grew up, she learned how to talk, she learned how to read, she learned how to write. She actually was able to go to college and graduated, and she wrote about a dozen books and other numerous articles on blindness, on deafness, and other social issues. She was actually able to travel all around the world and meet 12 U.S. presidents, and to live to about 87 years old. And Time magazine lists her as one of the top 100 people who have made a mark in the course of history. She is considered as the woman who altered our perception of the disabled and remapped the boundaries of sight and sense. When she was asked once, think about this, what is worse than being born blind? And you know what her answer was? To have sight with no vision. How many of you have physical eyes tonight? Okay. Aren't you glad we have eyes? But you know, You can have eyes, but if you don't have a vision for your life and for the future of this city, of this church, of this nation, then there's not much going for you. But the good news is this. Come on. God wants to give us a vision. Hallelujah. In fact, the reason this church is here is because of a vision. But I want us to understand that vision that God wants to give you, because I wouldn't be surprised if many of you already have a vision for your life. But you know what? That vision doesn't start and just end like that. It's a progressive unfolding of God's vision, His plan for each one of our lives. And that's what I want to share with you tonight on. Okay? I want to share with you three keys just from this one verse. Okay? This is a very simple message. Okay? I don't want to bore you too much. I want to inspire you in this 15th year of Victory Dumaguete. God wants to birth fresh vision in you individually and corporately as a church. But how do we get that vision? Three keys to having a vision becoming reality. Number one, a vision is a revelation from God. Okay? A revelation from God. Now, that seems so obvious. No, it's not. You know why? Because not every vision that you get is necessarily from God. As I said earlier, because we're made in God's image. How many of you are glad? Come on, we're made in God's image. Okay? We are the highest form of God's creation. We're higher than animals. That's why God expects more from us to live higher than animals. That's what should have been communicated. See, every person, because we're made in God's image, we have the capacity to imagine or envision something. But not every vision is necessarily from God. You know, there was a man who had a vision of a superior race. You know who that man was? Adolf Hitler. He thought that the Aryan race was superior to all the races. How many of you know that's not a godly vision? That's a self-propagated vision. And he justified killing 6 million Jews because he thought he was part of a superior race. See, a vision is a revelation from God about His plan and purpose for your life. A vision that is from God comes in many different ways and has eternal value. Think about that. Let me give you several biblical examples. Number one, God appeared to Abraham and said he would become a great nation. God appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying that he would be a ruler one day. David was prophesied that he would become king one day. Esther was counseled by Mordecai to join a beauty contest. Come on now. Come on now. Joining a beauty contest. Anybody have a dream to become a beauty queen? Come on now. It's in the Bible. Hallelujah. Okay? Now, I'm not promoting beauty contests. Make sure you get a word from God, okay? What else? Susanna Wesley. You know, Susanna Wesley lived in the 18th century, and she had a dream. She wanted to become a minister of the gospel. There was only one problem. She had a lot of children. In fact, she had, I think, about 26 children, okay? Too many children, okay? And so she wondered, I mean, after giving baby after baby, giving birth to baby after baby, Lord, how can I ever be used of you? So she ended her life most of the time taking care of children. Well, it just so happened that I think number 12 and number 14 were sons were named John and Charles Wesley, who founded the Methodist movement, who's now in thousands of churches all over the world. How many of you know God can fulfill your dream? Maybe not through you, but through your descendants. Hallelujah. In fact, I realize this more and more. Many of the visions that you will have will not just be fulfilled in your lifetime. In fact, if your vision is only for your life, I think it's a small vision. Are you with me? God wants to give us a vision that will exceed our whole lifetime. That's what the vision of the church is. Rice Brooks, in 1984, talked to Steve Merle, who was a pastor of a university church in University of Mississippi in Jackson, Mississippi. He said, why don't you go with me to the Philippines? We're going to reach students there. And of all the places, God led them. They didn't go to Siliman. They didn't go to UP. They didn't go to Ateneo. They went to University Belt. Hallelujah. Full of crime, full of poverty, full of poor students. And the pastors were discouraging them. Don't go there. There's not much offering. You know, during the first few years of the Victory Church, the offering bags were heavy. Why? It was full of coins. Okay? Our churches, Let's not despise the day of small beginnings, but let me tell you, out from that church of 150 students, we have planted over 70 churches all across the Philippines. Come on, Dumaguete is one of them because of the vision to reach students. That's the power of a revelation or a vision that comes from God. Keep in mind that vision is not ambition. Ambition is dreaming your own dream for God to bless. When you live by your own ambition, it leads to drivenness, restlessness, and panic. Vision, on the other hand, is discovering what God has created and called you to do and surrendering to it. And clear vision brings peace, it brings power, it brings passion. Speaking of passion, you know, vision produces passion. If you really have a dream from God, a man by the name of Bill Wilson was abandoned by his mother, and out from the pain of being abandoned, he developed a great compassion for abandoned children. When I heard him speak in Manila one time, he started a ministry called Metro Ministries International, which is the largest ministry to children in the United States. And he, every Sunday, there's about 20,000 children that he gathers on a bus, on several buses that go around the city, and their service is in Brooklyn, in New York. Can you imagine? There's about 1,000 plus people here. Multiply that by 20, all children, okay? Street children, abandoned children. You know, this guy, when I saw him, he has some bullet shots on his face, on his neck, on his body. This guy would be beaten up by gangs in New York because he would try to reach them. Okay, and he would reach them even though they would beat him up. And he's never married. He's just so passionate about reaching children because he knows the hope that there can be in Christ. And he still drives one of those buses. And this is what he said: if you don't know your passion, you probably don't have one. See, what makes life worth living is a passion, is a vision, is a dream. And as I said, every single one of us, God wants to birth a dream and a vision if you don't already have one. The question is it God's dream for you or is it your own dream? And you have to discern at some point, Lord, is this what you want me to do? I had to wrestle with that because my dream after taking my master's business was to be in business and government, okay? I don't say this normally in big settings like this. I actually had a dream. I wanted to be a senator one day, okay? Now, how many of you know, pwede naman managinip, di ba? Actually, magbarangay captain muna siguro dapat ako, okay? But you know what? When God was calling me to be a pastor, I talked to Pastor Steve. He said, Pastor Steve, I feel like God's calling me to be a pastor, but I want to be in government. I want to be a senator one day. You know what he's told me? He said, if you're a senator, you're only one person. But if you're a pastor, you can disciple the future senators, come on, the future congressmen, the future mayors, the future businessmen, the future athletes, the future musicians, and the accountants, and the businessmen, and the engineers, and the doctors, and the lawyers, and the athletes, and everybody else. I said, that makes sense. Today, I've had the opportunity, and I say this not in any way, just to show you, I've had the opportunity to pray for, to disciple at least three senators, current senators in our nation. Hallelujah. Come on, God is fulfilling the dream that He placed in my heart. Now, that's just me, okay? And it's not for photo op. I've never actually even had pictures with these men. I have a dream, and that is to plant God's word in them so that when they make their laws, come on now, it will be laws that will reflect the righteousness of God. That's the dream. Now, two of them are running for vice president, okay? Now, I don't want to get into that right now, okay? So I have to make a choice, okay? They're both my friends. Number two, what happens for a vision to become reality? Number two, a vision will put restraints in your life. What's a restraint? I think a picture of a restraint is, you know, those horses, the blinders, I guess. You know, when you're a horse, when it doesn't have these blinders, what happens? I guess it looks all around. So you want it to move forward. And then it sees that we were going up Mount Taal several weeks ago. Taal is the shortest volcano in the world. It seemed like Mount Everest to me, though, okay? And my wife was riding a horse. And the problem is, it's a male horse. Apparently, they smell the other horses and they try. So my wife almost fell over because this horse was so distracted by the other male horses. I guess they were jostling for territory. So anyway, the point is, a blinder helps you focus on where you're going. You understand that? That's what a vision does. It puts restraints. It makes you focus. It makes you look at what's important and not be distracted by any other side things. That's what a vision does. It puts restraints in you. There was a movie before. Anybody heard of this movie, Super Size Me? Anybody heard? This guy decided to eat McDonald's hamburgers every day for 30 days. Okay? And he wanted to see the effect. Well, needless to say, he gained about 40 pounds and was so lethargic. I mean, he had to really be, had medical care. But you know, that's a picture of what some people become if you don't have a vision for your life. Again, how many students do we have here? How many of you have a vision of being, come on, of doing something with your life? Come on, you have a vision of being successful. The question is, are you diligent with your studies now? See, if you don't have a vision to succeed, I have to be honest, I wasn't a Christian when I was still a student, so I would just be slack, okay? Fortunately, buti lang hindi lang bumagsak yung mga ano ko. Magaling kasi ako kumopya noon, okay? Kung naging Kristiyano na ako, hindi na ako mangungopya, okay? Ngayon, kung Kristiyano ka na, nangungopya pa, ibang storya na yon, okay? I can be pardoned because I wasn't saved yet then, okay? Buti na lang, hindi ako nahuli, okay? But the point is, if you don't have a vision, you won't be disciplined, isn't it? See, a vision will require you to make choices and sacrifices to see that your vision comes to pass. I know Steph Curry just scored, 51 points for those of you who watch basketball, Golden State Warriors. Now, he's probably, you know, they're saying nobody can surpass LeBron James. But let me tell you, before LeBron James, before Steph Curry, was Michael Jordan. How many remember Mike MJ? Now, I'm not endorsing his character, definitely, but it's basketball. I remember during the time in the 90s, people wanted to be like Michael Jordan. Remember that? They would wear Michael Jordan shoes. They would wear Michael Jordan headbands. They would wear Michael Jordan shirts. And when they would lay up, they would stick their tongue out. Everybody wanted to be like Michael Jordan. And hopefully by looking like Michael Jordan, they think they'll be as good as Michael Jordan. How many of you know that's not going to happen? Why? For the simple reason that people are not willing to practice 8 hours that Michael Jordan would practice to be good in basketball. Hello? Come on. What do you want to be? You want to be a good doctor? You want to be an entrepreneur? Come on. You want to be a minister of the gospel? Are you being diligent in serving? Are you being diligent in what you're doing? You're going to have to make sacrifices to see your dream come to pass. A vision without action is a daydream. You know, a vision will determine your priorities, your relationships, everything that you do. It will overcome opposition and adversity. Think about this. Abraham Lincoln, one of the greatest U.S. presidents. You know how he became U.S. president? He had lost elections several times. He lost being a senator. He lost being a vice president. He lost probably 5 times. He won 1 or 2 times, but he lost. But finally, he became president. And it was during his term that the American Civil War broke out. You know, one of the greatest tragedies in American history. And it was because he believed, you know, it was God's judgment upon America for having slaves of Africans in that country. And finally, that nation was healed and the Civil War ended. And right after that, he was assassinated because of his vision. Henry Ford. How many drive a Ford or have a Ford car? Some of you? Okay. I know this is Toyota country, okay? But he went bankrupt 5 times. Think about that. Before he became successful. So if you go bankrupt, start all over. Now that's easier said than done. I'm not a businessman. Thomas Edison. How many of you appreciate Thomas Edison? Without him, we wouldn't have lights. Do you know how many experiments he tried before he invented the light bulb? 10,000 experiments, all failures, before he produced the light, the incandescent light bulb. Can you imagine if he had quit at experiment 9,775? We probably wouldn't be, I wouldn't look as handsome as this, okay? To my wife, okay? Of course, the late Senator Ninoy Aquino left the comforts of his family and Boston to go back to the Philippines to see democracy restored. We know the sacrifice that he had to pay in order for that vision and dream to become reality. So there is a price to pay. How many of you want a dream from God? Come on. Not many anymore, okay? Maybe the price is too high. But the point is, if it's a dream and a vision from God, I believe there will be grace. One more thing before my last point. See, God gives both individual and corporate dreams. I said I had a dream to see this nation discipled and transformed, but I'm so glad that I became part of this church, because without this church, there would be no way for me. You know, these leaders will not listen to me. Sino to, di ba? I remember Pastor Steve one time was a guest when President Estrada was still the president of the Philippines. He was a principal sponsor, I think it was, in a wedding. And if you look at the principal sponsors, you know, this senator, this businessman, this leader, it's the who's who of the Philippine society. And then it was Pastor Steve. So the others were who's who. Pastor Steve, who's he? Okay. But you know what? Pastor Steve is the highest official in the land. Come on, he's the president of every nation. Hallelujah. Come on. Some of you don't know, who am I talking about? Well, Pastor Steve is, he's still our founding pastor in the Philippines, but now he's the president of our global ministry called Every Nation. So anyway, see, vision, God gives individual visions and corporate visions. Come on, how many of you have an individual dream from God? Come on now. All right, good. I want you to understand, as good as your dream is, you will never fulfill that completely apart from being part of the corporate vision of this church. Let me say that again. Whether you like it or not, our lives are tied together. That's what the church is. It's the ecclesia. It's the community of God's people called out. When you became a follower of Christ, you lost your independence from just living for yourself. Are you with me? If you're going to fulfill God's vision for your life, you have to stay connected with God's people. That's why we have discipleship groups. That's why we have Leadership Fall 12. That's why we have Victory Weekend. All of these things are meant to help you discover the vision God has for your life and fulfill it together with God's people. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, we are indeed better together. This nation can be transformed. Come on, we can see. One day, let me tell you, one of my pastors in Kansas City said, one day, the future president of this nation is going to be discipled in this church. How many of you believe one day that future president could be here? But it's all of us dreaming together, not just your own dream. Which brings us to the last point. Vision comes as you walk in obedience to God's word. You might say, well, I don't really have a vision from God. It's all right. You know what you just need to do? You just have to keep obeying God's word, whatever God's revealed will for you is. Okay? Sabi kanina, Proverbs 29, without a vision, people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. How many of you want to obey God's word? Come on, live for God's word. Let me tell you, just doing that, you're already blessed. Hallelujah. There's a blessing that comes in just doing what you know God's called you to do. We have two single women in our church in Pasig. One was the principal. Well, she was a faculty. Then she became the principal of Rizal High School. Rizal High School at one time was in the Guinness Book of World Records as the biggest high school in the world. They had about 24,000-25,000 students. And this principal, Josie is her name, opened the door for us to have Bible studies and victory groups and all of these things. And through her faithfulness, God did a mighty work. In fact, if you are familiar with Real Life Foundation, I don't know if Real Life is already here. Real Life was birthed in Pasig. Now we have hundreds of scholars. Real Life Foundation has the potential to really transform our nation. Whether we like it or not, more than half of our people are still living in dire poverty. And what's going to change this nation? You know, you are not those 50 or 60%. You might not see yourself rich, but you're probably in the top 20% of the Filipino population in terms of economic status in life. But you know, the amazing thing about this Real Life Foundation, many of these students who graduate, not only do they get money for school, their minds are renewed. They're usually the first person in their family to graduate from college. And because of that, it lifts up the hope. And many of these poor people who thought they could never have a dream or vision, now they're beginning to have ambition to improve their lot. Let me tell you, this nation can be transformed if we impart vision, if we just walk in obedience to the commands of God. One last story. There was a woman, a businesswoman. She's the sister of one of the leaders of our church. She would start all these small businesses in the supermarket. You know, shomai, fishball. She would have these small businesses. And she wondered, Lord, there must be something more that you want me to do. So she would have a few of these outlets in the groceries. But one day, God began to give her and her husband a dream. And the dream was inspired by a scripture during the Passover. Remember during the Passover in Exodus, when God told the Israelites to slay a lamb, you know, roast it over fire, and then eat it along with bitter herbs. Okay? And for some reason, this term bitter herbs came again and again to her. And so it was a dream. And then they began to pray, Lord, what are you trying to say? The Lord began to lead them to study some of the bitter herbs found commonly in our country. In fact, they brought them to a lab and all these had them study these bitter herbs. And they discovered some wonderful properties of bitter herbs, particularly to cure diabetes. And so from this inspired thought about bitter herbs, they started a company called Abs Bitter Herbs. And Abs Bitter Herbs used the simple plant, the Ampalaya plant, to produce a product which is now worth billions of pesos. Come on. All because of a dream and a vision of mapait na halaman. Come on, multi-billion pesos. How many of you know God can inspire you? Come on now, to have those kinds of dreams. I believe God wants to stir up. Let me share with you one scripture and then we'll pray. Acts chapter 2, verse 17. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God was poured out, the people were asking him, what's happening here? These people are drunk. No, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. How can you say they're drunk? It's just 9. But this is what the prophet Joel said. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Come on now. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. How many young people do we have here? Come on. How many old people do we have here? Yeah. Okay. Come on now. What's the difference between dreams and visions? They're the same. Now, of course, dreams are a vision when you're asleep. Now, maybe that's why it's for older men. Okay, no, but no, it doesn't matter. Come on. Joseph was a young man and he had a dream. Come on now. So dreams and visions are the same thing. There's just a difference. One is when you're awake, one's when you're asleep. But the point is, one of the ways that we know the Spirit of God, how many of you know God's moving in a city or a nation? God's going to birth visions and dreams in His people. Come on now. And God is moving in His church. And it's time for you, come on, to receive a fresh vision from God about what you're supposed to do with your life. I know some of you have a vision to go to other cities and other nations to birth churches. Come on. To make disciples. Some of you are going to go. And that's part of the destiny of this church. How many of you want to be catapulted to the next 15 years, 30 years of this ministry? God's going to do that by stirring up fresh dreams and visions. Now listen. If you already have a dream and vision, I'm not saying abandon that, okay? Some of you are maybe in that place where you're needing to put restraints. You realize, Lord, this is your dream. This is your vision. You don't need to have a new dream. You just have to be faithful to see that. In the few hours I've been here in Dumaguete, I see so much of God's dream for this city. Do you realize there's so much greatness in this city? I think you're just being awakened. You're not asleep. You're just relaxed. And I think God wants to put in fresh energy upon you to move you to action. Come on now. You may not like that, okay? But God has something great. Listen, there's a Christian heritage upon this city. That's why there's such an openness of the gospel. Not every part of the Philippines is like this. I've been all over the Philippines. I know. I go to Eastern Visayas, it's harder ground there. I go to Bicol, it's harder ground there. I go to different parts of the country. Here, Dumaguete, it's an open heaven. Hallelujah. Come on, God hears your prayers. But there's a reason for that. Jesus said, to whom much is given, much is required. And God wants to catapult us. Well, you're going to be catapulted for sure.